What up, guys? Welcome to the next episode of the Fair City Podcast. This episode has me, Stoby, as your host, unsurprisingly, and I am joined by two rather excellent gentlemen. First up, a very dear friend of mine who has hopefully come back to Earth after meeting the Critical Role guys a few weeks ago. He is the host of Inside the Ogre's Cavern and our resident DM when needed, which so far has only been once. It is, of course, Stu, aka Barg the Ogre. Hello, Stu.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Not too bad. What's happening with you?
Lots of things, but we'll come to that in a minute, rather than delay anything any further.
You're desperate for me to introduce the next person, aren't you?
I am indeed.
I am. So joining us is our smartest friend, whose appearance we teased way back in episode 7. He is a published author and researcher with such child-friendly reading titles as Are Elias 227 Spiral Arms Driven by Self-Gravity or by a Companion? A Comparative Spiral Morphological Study, and Clumpy Shocks is the Driver of Velocity Dispersion in Molecular Clouds, the Effects of Self-Gravity and Magnetic Fields. Caitlin loves them. He stole the show in Stargazing Live on McDermott Park with tennis balls, and genuinely that fascinated me just to know how far radio waves had gone. It is Professor Dr. Mr. Duncan Forgan! Welcome, Forgan. How you doing?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
I'm good. Excited.
I'm very excited too. This is a bit of a first for me because I've done a couple of podcasts in the past, but I would say that they were aimed at a different audience. Basically, the audience didn't want to hear swear words, and I know that your podcast sometimes has little sweary words, even though you're trying your best not to say them.
Ah, shit, man.
So you might hear me saying a little naughty word, which would be a first for me on radio or TV. So there you go, you can claim a first.
I'll give your lovely German fan club some fuel for their fire, won't it?
Yes.
I'm sure we'll get to that at a later point.
God, yeah, we probably will.
Yeah. First dad joke of the night, but Forgan is our team scarecrow. He's outstanding in his field.
That is lame, and I'm a dad.
You're welcome.
Well, we're all dads now, so...
I know.
I put this in a tweet earlier and said, I was just like, can you imagine what the three of us, who all have toddlers or are approaching toddlerhood, although yours is slightly younger, not quite full toddler yet.
Yeah, well, she's starting to make her first attempts at the toddles, so it's very exciting times for us. It's exciting and terrifying.
Yeah, just wait till the attitude kicks in.
Once it kicks in, it never stops.
Nope.
Yeah.
Stu, how was London Comic Con?
MCM London. It was insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. There was all sorts of drama in the run-up to it because we got the tickets because the Critical Role guys were coming across for the first time into the UK. The Critter Hug of Death managed to destroy the tickets for the signatures. So when I went on to get tickets, I was sat there for an hour and 20 minutes trying to get tickets and couldn't. Eventually, we were lucky enough to get tickets for it. And then the critters turned up to Comic-Con and we broke the Comic-Con because there were so many of us. It was wild. There was so much to do. We took the mini kaiju for the first couple of hours and he just rampaged around. And you're talking people in cosplay, people in all sorts of colors, lights, noises, everything going on. And he was just in his element. He was stomping around, roaring at people, getting all the attention. And people would wave at him, smile at him, and then he'd go, oh, I don't know. And then he'd wander off and he'd just start stomping around. And it was delightful to watch. We had a lot of fun. It was absolute craziness. And yeah, it's difficult to describe. But we got really lucky. We got some autographs from the Liam O'Brien, Matt Mercer, Sam Riegel, and Brian W. Foster. Absolute gentlemen, legends in their own right. And it was just really nice to meet them, get to meet some other critters. But yeah, it was wild. And I'm so old. So old. Going to cons when you're my age now is just not fun. By the end of day two, I was like, my back's killing me. And standing in the queue for the autographs, I could feel like the vertebrae in the lower back just fusing. But it was an amazing, and I would highly recommend it to anyone who is a nerd, because it's just so much going on.
See, I quite like that. Like they use the name of their podcast, so Critical Role, for their fans, so Critters. So I kind of think, you know, you've got fans like Sanj out there, we should have the same idea. So hello to all you fairies out there. So that's going to catch on, isn't it?
I think a fairy is a pretty good way of describing Sanj. He's the designated listener.
And he's very dainty, right?
He's so dainty.
He's got very dainty hands.
If you ever wanted anyone to do any sort of like very sort of close detail work, like delicate work, like, I don't know, putting together a Fabergé,
like stitching your leg back on.
Like, I can totally see him like dancing on the head of a pin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've got that picture in my head right
surgeon,
now.
He's a brain surgeon, isn't he? Brain surgeon?
Yeah.
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 He's like Doctor Strange, but more strange than Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about...
He's going to love this. He's going to be sitting there listening to his medic going...
The master of the ginger arts. What about you, Forgan? Have you been allowed out since the birth of your little one?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're in a bit of a strange position at the minute. So we're making a move back to Edinburgh just now. So we live in Fife. Well, I live in Fife at the minute. And my wife and my little girl live in Edinburgh. So it's a bit weird. We have to spend the weeks apart at the minute and then the weekends together. That's hopefully going to change fairly soon. I'll be moving through to Edinburgh at the end of the year. So this is why I can record, right? There's nobody else in the house. I can speak as loud as I want. Lucky. I'm not going to wake up a child. I mean,
and you're sleeping all night?
Well, more or less. We have our occasional...
What's it like?
What's sleep like?
All I could see on Skype is like the wildness in Stoves' eyes when he said that. What's it like? I mean, I would say sleeping all night is not entirely true. Like, it's getting up once in the night and being put back to sleep. But
hold on, are you the baby? Is someone putting you back to bed?
No. Just get the chloroform teddies out and it solves everything.
Does this smell like chloroform to you?
If only that was allowed. Yeah, that would be nice.
So obviously I refer to my little one as the mini kaiju. Are you going to refer to your little one as something? Do you have a code name you want to use?
We tend to think of her as like a dinosaur. Because she likes to kind of screech and sort of rampage.
She's a little raptor.
So, yeah.
Clever girl.
If she can clap, then she's not a T-Rex. So that eliminates that one.
As a raptor, yeah. She's a clever girl.
Both of them usually get called Sweetie, but I try and call the smaller one Little One, like Thanos. With Gamora.
Dude, you are no Thanos. Thanos wannabe, maybe.
I am when half our toys disappear.
I was going to make a comment about a purple-headed monster, but never mind.
No, please don't.
Not with kids. Not with kids. They don't get the reference. They don't get it.
So, what else has been happening with you guys? What's been happening with you, David? How about that?
With me? Ooh, throwing it back at me.
I know.
Normally, my life's pretty routine, to be honest. Recorded last night with Steve, Cheen, and Chen. So we got Fair City Podcast, American Football Cast, the Bloody Mess Podcast, although I called it Bloody Murder on the recording, and Cheencast got us all together. And it's going to be fun. I hope it's as funny to listen back to as it was to record, because we had such a laugh, especially given it was the first time Steve had met the other two.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The chemistry was just instantly there, and it was great fun. Overall, I've not done much on the old podcasting since episode 11, which was... I can't even remember when that was now. I can't even remember what it was.
The last one I was on, when we did the last round table with the four of us, and then we did the weird D&D game with Sir Borkalot.
That was episode 10. Episode 11 was introducing the Bloody Mess podcast. Ah, that's right. Yes, with Holly, Chen, and Jim. And that was fun.
Duncan is like, I have no idea what any of this is talking about.
No, that is not true. That is not true. I listened.
He's
to,
a researcher.
To episode 10. I listened to Chad and Jim's first two episodes. They're really good.
I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next. So I have no idea what we talked about.
Yeah,
I got a 4-day memory now.
I have an interesting fact about episode 10. Forgan will get that. You won't.
Vigorous head shaking.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to. I'm going to the Christmas lights switch on this weekend, so that'll be fun. I've got Pixielot, James Arthur, who are secondary. We've got Stephen Mulhern coming to Perth.
Oh, big name.
Wow.
I like him. I really like him. So I'm quite excited about that. I watched him when he was on like CITV when I was younger.
On Ministry of Mayhem with Holly Willoughby. I watched that show.
Yeah. So I can't remember. I'm just agreeing with you here. It could have been, you're sitting there going, no, it wasn't called that at all. You're an idiot.
I'm not lying. There was a show called Ministry of Mayhem and it had Stephen Mulhern and it had Holly Willoughby. It was on a Saturday morning before Saturday morning TV was killed by Saturday
I will take
breakfast.
Your word for that, Stu.
tell you what, it has come back. Saturday night TV, like, Michael McIntyre's Big Show.
Mm.
You watched it at all?
I watched some of it. Yeah, yeah.
That is classic Saturday night TV. You've got like loads of audience surprises and members of the public getting surprised with things. And
I don't know.
I remember like
what
was it?
Do you know what we have been watching? Actually, we caught up over the last weekend was Doctor Who.
We've got back on that.
We're what, 5-6 episodes in. Absolutely amazing. Really, really good. We dropped off during the middle of the Moffat era because of reasons, which I won't get into now because this isn't that much of a nerd podcast today. But with the departure of Moffat and the arrival of Chibnall and Whittaker as a Doctor, it's just been 6 episodes of absolute stunningness, or 5 episodes of absolute stunningness. It's really good. And visually it looks amazing as well.
Yeah, visually, I thought it's been excellent. The Rosa Parks episode was extremely well done.
Oh, amazing.
And I think I've derived secret joy from watching idiots getting upset about the fact that they're getting lectured, quote-unquote, about civil rights and about men getting pregnant. Really, he's an alien. It doesn't matter. Okay.
The funny thing is like Doctor Who was originally supposed to be there to teach kids about history, and that's what it's doing. It's teaching kids about history, right? The role of Rosa Parks, and in the latest episodes, it's about the separation of Pakistan from India and what happened there. And all these people are losing their mind because they're being educated.
But don't you know that the kids don't need no education?
I think they do. Yeah, I work at a university.
I think the kids need those educations. Right now, everyone needs a bit of education.
If kids don't need the education, I'm out of a job. That's the problem. The fact of the matter is that Doctor Who is the original social justice warrior, and there's nothing that people could do about that. That's what he/she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did see a lot of that on the Twitter, but I also seen people just coming out and saying that episode was absolutely fantastic. Mm. It's just something I've never watched, and I'd probably love it.
We went back and watched David Tennant's episodes, or some of the highlight episodes of his run, and oh man, not only is that a man who is enjoying the role that he's playing, but it's just so good, so good. But I think that's a chat for another day. I think I said we'll talk about Doctor Who another day someday. Maybe.
You could probably talk about like this little phone box, but you step inside and it's bigger than my house.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know? Mm-hmm. Is that scientifically possible? There's a question for someone.
Oh, that's a lovely segue, Stobes. I like it.
I thought
segue
so.
Subtly like a brick.
Yep. Brick and a robbery. So, why are we here together talking?
If you really want to answer that question, you're going to have to go to the guy who talks about physics and the way the universe was created.
Yes. So, God, why are we together?
Oh, God, why are we together?
So, sorry. Speaking of fiction. So, over to Mr. Professor Dr. Mr. Duncan Forgan, what are we planning on doing?
So the general idea was to have a few episodes and see where it goes, where you guys come to me with something from comic books, movies, science fiction, whatever your choice.
TV.
Some interesting concept. And then we all have a chat about how much of it is grounded in fact or whether it's nonsense or what. You know, just have a good chat about how science and science fiction meet and, you know, some interesting chat that comes from it.
That pretty much sums up what
we're trying to do. So yeah. I
we've brought a qualified person on board for this.
Yeah, there's a qualified person and then two morons who like TV and comics.
But I think it's kind of good because there's things that I definitely have no idea about, right? And there's things that that you guys have no idea about, and together we're going to mash those things together and come up with something interesting, right?
And still have no idea.
I still have no idea at the end, but at least we'll have had a laugh and a good chat. And I think that's kind of the point, right?
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's one of these things that we sort of threw the idea about, and it's that whole like finding out, like, because a lot of these ideas are grounded on something, and like, obviously we're not going to talk about things like magic, like because magic is some things like spells and wizards and all that sort of stuff. We're not going to talk about that, but we are going to talk about things that have that grounding. So, for example, one of the things that we want to talk about is things like Thor's hammer. Now, we're not talking about not being able to lift it because it's worthy and he can do that sort of stuff, but more the mechanics behind it. Like, obviously, we know certain bits and pieces about what it's made of. Is that possible? And we've seen in some of the movies the process, and then there's sort of all those other bits connected to it. So, it's not to go into it too due detail, but it's like, obviously, it's made of some sort of super heavy metal. Or they talk about like it's made from the heart of a dark, dying star. Now, to any comic book reader, you go, that sounds awesome. But to your mind, which is obviously educated, more knowledge about looking out there, there's got to be that point where you go, I can explain that. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to hold myself back from explaining it because that's not the point of this episode.
Exactly, yeah, no, and that's why I was like, I'm not going to talk about that. But like, a lot of those sort of things, and like I said, I've been talking to my, obviously, my wife is also a big fan of sci-fi and those sort of TV shows. So she's been coming up with ideas and questions. And there's so many shows, comic book things out there that are just one of those things where you go, that's such a great idea, like time travel. Time travel, not just, I mean, I know for the fact that there have been experiments into that and there's theories about it. And just being able to sort of get some of the science behind that and like be able to go, Would a DeLorean powered by a flux capacitor really work? Would it need to get to 88 miles an hour? Probably not. Or just get to the base science behind that sort of stuff. And explain it to morons like us.
Well, the thing is,
I think time travel. Sorry, on you go.
Look, the thing is about science fiction. Pretty much every scientist that I've met in my career has read science fiction to some level growing up, right? So we go into research with all that stuff bubbling at the back of our heads. So it kind of influences the way we think about science. And if we read good science fiction, it might help us actually do science, you know. And the really good science fiction tends to kind of precede science by, you know, a few decades. And you could point some really good examples of like
Star Trek. Star Trek has inspired so many things.
A lot of the technology you see in Star Trek kind of exists in like a primitive or sort of half complete form now. And, you know, science fiction is a good tool for like exercising your imagination and saying, well, what if this happened and what would happen next? And scientists have to have an imagination. They have to be creative to try and figure out what to do next, you know, how to apply what they've learned to, you know, to something new or how to test a theory. And so science fiction can be a good training ground for that. And it can also sort of be predictive, you know, in the way that Star Trek has kind of predicted some of the things we see now. And the really good science fiction writers can say, here's a thing that's going to be invented soon. And soon enough, it gets invented, you know, in a very short period of time. So sometimes science fiction is like the precursor to the real science coming along. So there's a really good connection. And sometimes it's the connection between the science fiction and the science. And sometimes it's the connection between the science fiction and the people doing the science. And I think that's what's really interesting.
Yeah. And I think, like, what you're saying about scientists being creative, people don't always think like that because, you know, a lot of people think you're either creative or you're logical, if that makes sense. So, and you can't kind of be both. So it is interesting just to actually take a step back and think, oh, wait, actually, no, they need to be quite creative. Mm. And that's apparent in other things. Like, not great subjects to talk about, but knowing I was at a talk recently with a woman who's been diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, and she's undergoing a trial for immunotherapy rather than chemotherapy. And the reason behind it is chemotherapy breaks down your immune system, and then she developed the cancer again when her immune system was still low. Immunotherapy boosts your immune system. And to go with the different treatments she's got to have, there's IV, there's daily tablets, you know, things like that, is focus on your diet. You know, and she can only eat certain things. And it's just like, somebody's had to think of that. Someone's had to look at the benefits or whatever of these, like plant-based foods or whatever, and say, well, that'd make a difference. And, you know, they've had to think outside the box and say it's not just the drugs, it's got to be the nutrition as well, which... Mm. And it's in a trial stage, so I can't say it definitely works or definitely doesn't. But the fact that someone's even thought about it like that, you suddenly go, oh, that is quite creative.
Yeah, there's a big fallacy that scientists are these kind of cold, logical, calculating kind of people, and they're not very creative.
I've seen you drunk there. That is not true at all.
Exactly, right? I mean, maybe one of the things that this podcast is going to dispel the notion that that scientists are these kind of people, and actually they're not, and they have to be quite creative, because a lot of the time the question you're asking is, what happens if I do this? And the only way you can answer that is by running an experiment in your brain, and that's imagination, that's creativity. So the best scientists I know are the most creative. You know, science is a creative industry just like any other, just like making a podcast.
Yeah. It certainly scratches that creative itch for me anyway.
Yeah.
So Stan Lee's dead.
We'll go with that.
Do you know what, this is going to sound like such a weird, I didn't find out about it until, so I was playing D&D on Monday night in the basement of a bookstore. So I had no signal. And I got home and I told Angela about all the things that happened, and she sort of made this sort of sad face and went, I don't want to ruin your night, but this has happened. And she told me about it. I went, oh. And it was genuine. Like, I was, even like it's a couple of days separate now, and I'm still quite sad about it. But like all the outpouring that's come out of it, mm-hmm. and like all the people who have gone, they said these lovely things about him, and how there's no terrible situations or terrible news about him, and someone will probably come up with something of it, who's some sort of monster, but and we know he's not a saint, but. Like the effect that this man has had on pop culture, on people, on the way we look at the world and the way we act in the world is absolutely stunning. And you can't deny that without Stan Lee, pop culture would be so different. And it's an absolute loss.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be hard for anyone to step into that position of, so if you think like Marvel, Stan Lee, it's all sort of integral to itself, you know, and there's no one, like you say, in pop culture who's probably going to be able to step into that void for quite a long time, and probably won't have the same impact just because of, it was different times, you know. He was born in what, 1922, so he was born 22, so he's grown up with like so much different technology, and you know, he was in there early with the comics. He wasn't the first person to write comics, no. You know, we know that, but he was in there early, and he just helped grow Marvel to what it became and influenced so many people along the way. And 95, I mean, that is a good age to get to.
That is a hell of an innings.
Well, his wife passed a few years ago. She was 95 as well, so when she went, and like that's and thing is you look at them and you just go, look at both of them. You went, they didn't look their age, absolutely didn't look their age. But I'm just doing a little bit of research and seeing if I can find out some information, because I believe that Stan Lee may be one of the, for all his cameos, may well be one of the biggest grossing actors of all time. Just
he's recorded
more.
A few more cameos, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, well,
so
I mean,
he's going to be.
You look at the movies he's been in. This is absolutely not helping me, and I'm super annoyed about this.
And I think it's quite sad that he's not going to see Avengers 4. And that maybe sounds really lame or shallow, but no, he won't have seen the final version. He's maybe seen cuts or storyboarding. But
I've seen it.
And it's just things like that. You know, he's been there for the whole journey. This was his, you know, this was a visualization of his baby brought to the big screen, you know. And normally with celebrity deaths, I'm usually unaffected because I'm kind of emotionally retarded, for lack of a better word. I was just like, oh, you know, that's pretty sad, and that was it. But then I was looking today, and it was like this collection of artists had put in all these pictures for him, and it was like Spider-Man hugging him as he turns to dust, and he's like, thank you, and what was the other one? There was one where he's turning up at the pearly gates, and he's like, you here for a cameo? He's like, nope, this one's a full feature. It's just like, oh.
The one that I really liked I can't remember what it was now, but he turns up at and there's God there, and he says, "Well, oh, you make universes too," and that's it.
I seen that one. Yeah, but I actually felt a little tinge of emotion when I was looking at these things, just a little. I didn't get like the full sweaty eyes or anything like that, but a little tinge of emotion there.
Yeah, I unfortunately cannot find no proof, although it pretty much is Stan Lee. But in terms of official actors, it's Samuel L. Jackson. In terms of unofficial actors, it's Stan Lee as being the highest grossing actor, he says, with the bunny ears of all time, simply due to the number of cameos in huge box office movies. When you look at things like Avengers, Avengers 2, Avengers 3, the Civil War movies, Spider-Man's, all those sort of things.
I was hoping you were going to get a bit varied there.
You know, those three are some of the biggest grossing movies around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Outside of Avatar and Titanic for some reason. But, you know, what's Avatar been doing recently?
Sequels.
Yeah, two
They've
sequels.
They've been making them. They're not out. Yeah, but
nobody cares anymore. Marvel are here.
Well, that's... I really enjoyed the first Avatar film. I did. I mean, it's a good standalone
movie.
Film.
It's just super overhyped.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally. Not a particularly.
It's no Transformers
story.
The movie.
Oh God, here we go. Next, you'll be saying Justice League isn't that bad.
I did remember.
Oh yes, yes, that's true.
Yes,
I can check your score on that, like, Andy.
Justice League. When I went in, and you know I hate Batman versus Superman, and I went in and I was like, and the first scene, the CGI was terrible when you see Batman jumping over the thief on the roof and stuff like that. And I thought, you know what? Forget about the terrible CGI and just watch what's in front of you in that moment. And I did.
And that is how
and
you
I
watch
actually
the
came out like, well, no, because normally you'll look at things, you'll compare things, you'll predict, you know, and plan it out and say, oh, I'd have done this, or oh, I was expecting that, or, ooh, that's quite a clever thing. And I just thought, nope, switch off brain, absorb, enjoy. And I did. I enjoyed it for what it was. I haven't watched it since. I'm not in a hurry to watch it again, but I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, I watched it on a flight, and...
I see, those ones, you have to watch them.
Yeah.
No,
I was just kind of
staring at the back of a seat.
Well, I mean, I've done quite a lot of long haul flights in the last couple of years, and you know, you make all these big plans. You take your laptop and you say, "I'm going to do some work," and then you don't because it's too tiring. And then it's British Airways, and you're like, "Would you like a gin and tonic?" And you're like, "Ooh, yes, I'll have a gin and tonic." And then, "Would you like wine with dinner?" "Ooh, yes." And you have your gin and tonic, which is a double, and it's like a, you know, a very British double
with a tiny can.
And then, you have your wine, then you have your meal, and you're like, no, I can barely keep my eyes open. So you sit and put a film on. And I just found it very underwhelming. It's not a film that I think is particularly good or bad. I think it's just a bit meh. Like, I wasn't particularly enthused.
It's the Kevin James of movies.
No, let's not go that far.
Rob Schneider of movies?
I mean, it's no Razzie magnet like Batman versus Superman, but it's not exactly like you say in Titanic, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit, like, I was obsessed with Superman as a kid. And when Man of Steel came out, I thought, and having watched it a couple of times back, I have a better opinion of it than I did when I first watched it. And I think it's fair enough that they're trying to do something different with the character, and okay, you know, being a bit grittier is a bit of a challenge to something that's like quintessentially non-gritty. But you know, you can tell the same Superman story a million times and it gets boring. Let's tell a different version of the story. Mm. But yeah, Batman v Superman, oh my God. And at the same time, you have
Martha.
Martha, for God's sake. And
so I think I'm on entirely the other side of this, because I don't really like Superman that much. I think he's such a dull character.
Well, that's why I quite liked Man of Steel, because you're right, Superman is kind of a dull character because he's so good.
And he just hasn't changed.
And he's been so unchanged. And to give him flaws and to make him alien in a way that they didn't manage to do before, I thought was quite good. And the annoying thing about Batman versus Superman is they have that bit where Batman beats up the criminals to get to Martha. And that bit's great. Like, there's like a 5-minute bit in the film where you're like, this is a Batman film. This is really good, you know.
But again, this is almost a situation where you're sitting there going, "You've changed Batman from what the Batman was in the Chris Nolan movies, where obviously everyone loved that. Maybe not towards the end. And then you're dropping Batman into a movie with a Superman that is very different. You're playing your two biggest characters, your biggest draws, off against each other on a pretty ropey background. You're introducing all these things, and you're almost essentially trying to do what Marvel did with Civil War, with one movie or two movies build up. And I've said this so many times on podcasts and just in chats with people, is that DC want to do what Marvel have done, but without the hard work. They just want to jump straight to the Avengers, big bucks movies. And there are going to be big fans out there who turn up and go, "I'll see the movie if it's shit. Doesn't matter." They're just going to do that. It's the same with Transformers. At a certain point, Transformers was making money in spite of itself. And like, we were shit.
Michael Bay. How does Michael Bay keep getting jobs?
It's Michael Bay and Paddy McGuinness. How do they keep getting jobs?
This doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. You couldn't explain that.
No, that is a mystery that is beyond the realms of science.
So that's where my frustration comes is. And they're taking these characters and they're not modernizing them. They're not making them nuanced, they're not showing them as relatable characters. And I can kind of get them pull going, well, we're going to go down the whole, these people are gods in a world of normal people. And like, I can kind of get on top of that, but they've just not done it very well. And they've blown their load early and gone, "Oh, we'll get this then." And then it's like, no, there's no satisfaction. There's no journey. You're just getting these fully formed, unrelatable super characters who are out of this world, but you just don't connect to them. Whereas with Marvel, we've had, 10 years to get to learn Tony, to know Steve, to develop Thor to where he is by the time you get to Infinity War. So when you get that moment where Thor appears in the middle of the Wakanda battle at the end with Groot and Rocket, and the music kicks up, you're just going, holy shit, yes, you are Ruffalo in that movie, going, yeah, you're going to get your ass kicked right now. Whereas you don't get that. I don't think you're going to get that in a three movie build up where not all of your characters are in there.
I absolutely agree. There's two other things I would say. The first is that Batman and Superman have been done to death in cinema, and Marvel's advantage has been that it has this huge cast of characters that they've never had in cinema before. So, you know, before 2000, was it 2005 Iron Man came out?
2008.
But anyway, up until that point, Iron Man never been in the film. Captain America hadn't been in a big budget film. Thor had never been in the film. All this Guardians of the Galaxy stuff was a huge gamble because no one knew who they were, right? Unless you were a comic book fan. And I wouldn't regard myself as a comic book fan at all, right? All I know of all this stuff I get from the films, right?
I knew some of it.
So I think they had like completely fresh ground, whereas Batman has had so many different interpretations that to try and get a fresh interpretation of him is really hard. And Superman has like proper iconic films that capture the characters so perfectly that you just can't do them again. The origin story doesn't make sense to be done again.
Do you know, there's one DC movie I can get behind, and I've spoken to David about this before. There's one DC movie that I adore. It's Teen Titans Go to the Movie. That movie is amazing.
I was expecting you to say Wonder Woman, but
Wonder Woman I still haven't seen, but Angela has told me it's very good.
Of all the films I've seen of DC, that's the best one.
That's
right. I think it's because, again, it's fresh that there's.
But I think from what I've been told, like it's the best of the DC movies, but it's still not as good as some of the lesser Marvel movies.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But you go to the cinema and you get a chance. If you get a chance, go watch Teen Titans Go to the Movie. It is colourful. It is hilarious. It is self-referential. There are Easter eggs in there. It is a solid story. There is music. There is Michael Bolton. they know what they're doing. It's a great style. They can laugh at themselves. Is
that Stan Lee's last cameo before he died?
Possibly. Because he does make a cameo in there.
It's a DC movie
with a Stan Lee cameo in it, and it is amazing. We took the mini kaiju to a cinema in Milton Keynes, which has a little soft play at the front of it. So he was running around playing in that and having a good time or whatever. And we sort of had the movie on in the background. There are several musical numbers, half of which he laughed and danced at. So that was great. Definitely, of all the DC movies the best DC movie I've ever seen. Absolutely the best DC movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. See, the best DC movie I've seen is an animated one. And to be honest, all the DC animated movies, even their crap ones, are better than the DCEU stuff. But Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and 2, have either of you seen that?
No. Sorry.
That's the Batman versus Superman story they wanted to tell.
I think I have seen that. I think I might have seen that on a flight. Most of my movies I've seen on flights now because I don't get to go to the cinema that often.
That is amazing. If they've shown that on the flight, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes if you go on a long haul flight, they often have, you know, latest releases, but they also sometimes will have, like, you know, a classic catalogue of something. And again, I just thought, you know what? I don't usually watch animated stuff that much. Let's give it a whirl, see what happens. And I could see why that's a much better version of Batman versus Superman. And it kind of captures the characters much more effectively in it. And there is more emotion behind it.
Do you know, I would love to see, like having gone back and read them, I would love to see an Injustice movie or an Injustice sort of plot line where you get to turn Superman on his head and go down this, what happens if Superman became the big bad guy?
Have you played the game?
No.
No.
The game is like a 4-hour movie. The game is essentially a movie. It's a CG movie with some button bashing in between scenes. Or in the middle of scenes. So it flows like a film. So you'll have a Batman scene, and if it's a fight, you're fighting as Batman. But then that's only maybe like two fights. And then it might go to like Green Arrow or Harley Quinn or something. You know, and it moves about. And it's a brilliant story, and it's brutal. You know, it doesn't hold back. But yeah, the fact that you've got like 5 years of comic book storyline leading up to the game is just, it's so good. All triggered by the Joker.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's interesting because the Joker pretty much then gets taken out of it very quickly, and it's just like, this is what happens. And it's literally this whole what if. One thing happens, and it's really interesting because it's. I remember reading it and thinking, Batman is very much the conscience of the whole thing, and there's a point, and it's really interesting. It's like Batman goes, yeah, I can deal with the Joker. I can handle the Joker. I can deal with the Joker. It's fine. Superman doesn't have the same reaction to the Joker that I do. And that's a lot of where it comes down to, which is basically the Joker does something terrible and Superman just loses it. Like, he has no stop and pull himself back, because what he does is obviously so terrible. Whereas Batman's like, no, I've done this over and over and over again. And it's almost like he's going, no, you don't play with Superman, because Superman will do this to you. Whereas I, at least,
and yeah, and that's what happens.
That's
yeah.
the game. Like, you don't play the game with Superman. Superman's a different thing. This is what mm-hmm. we do. And I genuinely thought that was really interesting, where it's just like, even Batman's like, yeah, no, you don't play with him, play with me.
And you've got Superman's regime as a result, because he kills Joker, he puts his hand through his chest, and then he decides, that's it, I'm going to rule the world now, I'm going to stop violence, I'm going to stop murder, death. And then you've got Batman's resistance, who are hunted down relentlessly.
Oh yeah, but there's some really interesting twists and turns, like when they bring in John Constantine, that whole era period, I thought was really interesting. In the whole, like, obviously, it's one of Superman's major weaknesses is magic.
So let's go to a magic house.
Yeah. So as soon as he comes into play, it's like Superman's going, "Oh, hold on." But then the whole Yellow Lantern stuff comes in as well.
Yeah, and Hal becomes a Yellow Lantern as well.
Yeah. Again, I'm not a DC fan. I've always been a Marvel guy. First Marvel comics I read were X-Men comics and Spider-Man and stuff like that. But I really did enjoy it. I thought it was an interesting take on the character.
Hmm. Yeah. I was in a DC comic chat for a while, and it was like, oh, what was it, 200 people in the chat room? And I was just more a lurker than anything else. But anytime someone new joined it, they would say, what DC should I read? And everyone would just jump in, Injustice. That was the first thing anyone would say to people, is go read Injustice. And yeah, it would be interesting. But there's so many other interesting DC characters. And what they should have been doing is looking ahead, because eventually, like, Marvel can't hold this top spot forever. They can hold a high spot, but they can't. After Avengers 4, it's going to drop for a while. So DC should have been building up at this stage so that they're getting ready for Avengers 4 hits, Marvel drops off, DC ramps it into phase 2. Mm. You know, and they get their phase 2 going, and they've got such rich characters. They've got, well, Green Arrow. So you could take either the classic approach or even the Stephen Amell approach to it. You've got Flash, Cyborg, you know, you've got the Titans. And by the way, DC's Titans is amazing.
I'm spoiled already. Nothing's going to be better than the cartoon. I'm sorry. if you've got Cyborg firing massive meatballs at people, then no, sorry.
Cyborg's not in it.
Well, then, in that case, you've completely lost me. If it's not Carrie, what's his face? I've forgotten.
Fisher?
No, not Carrie Fisher. He plays the guy with the dreads in Dead Walking Dead, with the tiger.
Oh, Carrie Payton.
Carrie Payton, yeah. Carrie Payton as Cyborg is Cyborg. I'm sorry. That guy is just so cool. And he plays D&D, and he was on Critical Role. So, yeah, the man's awesome.
He was at MCM Glasgow a couple of months ago.
Yes, I saw that. The guy's cool. Seriously cool.
Yeah.
What's up, Fair City Podcast? This is Chris and Dan from Fresh Talk. Check us out at freshtalkpodcast.com.
That's right. And if you had any idea how long it took me and Dan to do that bumper, you would actually probably never listen to us.
It's totally true. Get him, Stoby.
Hey, Stoby, it's me, Jarrett. Go to JarrettGoesToTheMovies.com. Check out the podcast. Also, go to Rockstar Dad Show. Check that one out, too. It's freaking great. They're both great. Also, you just got a text and a Facebook message.
Yeah.
And I probably better give you this phone back.
No, I think you're right, Stobes. It sounds to me like Marvel will run out of road eventually. I have Marvel fatigue. I don't watch every film that comes out. I watched quite a few that came out sort of towards the start. But yeah, like, I'm running out of interest. And I haven't been to see a Marvel film in the cinema since Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
A good one to go to.
I think that was the last one I went to see in the cinema. The rest I've seen, you know, either through Netflix or other ways where, you know, like on TV or, again, on flights, because I spend a lot of time on flights.
Not doing any science, just flying around.
Just flying around, just making a massive carbon footprint for myself.
In a 10.5-hour flight to Vegas last month, I managed one film. I managed Incredibles 2. The entire flight. And that took a lot. In fact, no, that was on the flight back. I managed half of a film on the way there.
So what stopped you?
Kids.
Ah, kids.
When we went to San Diego, we had, I think we must have watched, I must have watched about three movies, I think. But I can't sleep on flights. I can't sleep on flights at all.
No, I hate flying.
Mm. I hate flying. It's just I can't sleep on flights. There's too much going on.
Mm-hmm. I struggle to sleep as well. But I find that helps, that if I'm really tired when I arrive, it helps with jet lag. Mm. I tend to get over it fairly quickly as a result, which is good.
Yeah. I had to. When we got back at 5 o'clock, roughly, and stopped at McDonald's on the way home, as you do. Got home, and everyone went to their bed about 8:30 at night, sleep by 9. I got up at 9 in the morning, and I'd slept right through, because I was that knackered. We'd been on the go for well over 24 hours by that point, by the time we'd got home. And so I got up, pottered about, took my kilt back, this, that, and the next thing. 1 o'clock, I finally get a message from the wife saying her and the kids had just got up. 9 at night till 1 in the afternoon.
Woofed.
Absolutely crazy. I was like, good luck with that, because I'm working tomorrow.
I don't even remember. Like, I've only ever really done the long-haul flights twice, and I don't remember ever having that sort of reaction to it. Like, when we went across for Comic-Con, I remember getting there and like being really tired for the first couple of days while I was there. But when I came back, I was just like, yeah, just straight back into things. But again, like, I don't know how much of that was the con lurgy, or it was just tiredness. But like, when we went across there, we got upgraded to business class on the way across. It was like, all the tiny cans of juice I ever want.
Juice, dude. Why would you go for cans of juice, man?
Not juice in the standard phrase, like in the Scottish term, you know, juice.
No, I'm talking about why you didn't go for alcohol.
Because I don't want to get drunk on a flight. I don't know.
I really would have on this latest flight, because I'm a terrible flyer now. See the bits of turbulence, even the small bumps. I'm like a cat above a bath. So when it's like...
I've seen that. They're pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's me. I'm proper rigid limbs, claws out, everything. And we hit really bad turbulence over Iceland.
Yeah.
No, not Farm Foods, Iceland. And at that point, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But I couldn't drink. I just had to smile because of the girls, because I did not want to pass this on to them.
Yeah.
So I just had to smile and pretend it was, oh, this is fun. Oh my God, I'm...
Yeah, we're going to be testing the mini cage on his first flight coming up in the next few weeks when we come up for Christmas. So,
are you flying this time?
He's going to fly with the missus and potentially grandparent, and then I'll drive up with everything else, just logistic, because the last trip up and down was not fun. It was genuinely, it's a 6-7 hour drive from where we are to get up to up north. I think the trip up was 10 hours, the trip back was 11 hours just for stops for him. And it's not fun. So like, we're just going to do we're going to try this, see what happens.
Well, if he's anything like Emily, she just, it was like getting on a bus or getting in the car for her. They have no clue what's going on, really.
Yeah.
Unless the air pressure's slightly off and it's pounding on their ears.
That's the only thing that could be absolutely like, fine. To be honest, like, our logic is there's going to be so much stuff going on. And to be honest, for a trip for him for an hour, rather than 6.5-7 hours in a car plus mooching around, we may as well take the shot and see how it goes. But
so for the flight for Vegas, Emily just, she took it in her stride. Like, it wasn't any big deal to her. You know, the two of them were just, they were excited because they had loads of toys that we'd got. We took little kiddie-sized cabin bags on, which were basically just filled with, like, for Caitlin, it was colouring books, we bought them little tablets for going as well. So they were just excited to play with them. And then the flight out was 20 to 5 at night, or 20 past 5. So it was, like, a few hours, and then it was their sort of bedtime. So they got tired and they went to sleep, and they slept for, like, 4 or 5 hours or something like that. So, I mean, that's half your flight gone.
That's pretty good.
Just sleeping, you know? And on the way back, they slept most of it as well, because it was... We left, that was 20 past 5 Vegas time. So you're flying overnight and you're landing like 11 o'clock time in the travel. Morning, like local time. Yeah, what's that?
Time travel.
it's mental when you're traveling all that time. Because you're traveling there and you leave at 5 and you arrive at 7.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Don't worry, on the science of fiction, we'll explain why.
It's time zones, too. It's time zones. So the last time I flew to Vegas was a couple of years ago, and there was a row of guys in front of me who were clearly off on a stag, and they just kept bothering the attendants for more drinks, to the point that the attendant said, "No, we're not giving you any more. You guys are cut off." And they were stuffing like little miniatures of vodka and gin into their shoes.
They're clearly drinking it wrong.
Well, they drank quite a lot, but what they couldn't drink before the landing, they stuffed into their shoes. And I can remember standing in front of these guys. Well, sorry, just behind these guys.
They must have reeked.
They did. They absolutely stank of vodka. And they're sitting in the queue for immigration. And you can just hear them go clink, clink, clink as they're walking down the queue of immigration. I think, you guys are never getting in. And true enough, the first guy goes up and the customs official asks him one question. And you can see his nose kind of crinkle, like the alcohol wave just kind of hits him in the face. And he just says, you know, come with me, sir. And this guy just gets carted off. And then the next guy goes down. Can you come with me, sir? Next guy. Can you come with me, sir? Next guy. All of them getting held back. And you're like, yep, that's what you get.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what would happen to them? Like, would it just be detained for a little while and then on your way?
Cavity search.
Punted back?
Usually they just hold them for extra questioning. It has happened to me, not because I was drinking, but there's been a time...
You were high.
No.
Is it because you were trying to smuggle drugs again?
Well, so something weirdly happened. I got a new passport, so I hadn't traveled anywhere on it. And I was going to a conference in Baltimore. And so flew in direct to Baltimore. It was quite a nice flight. Got in. The guy takes a look at my passport and he's looking at me, looking at the passport, looking at me, looking at the passport. And I was like, this doesn't look right. And he said, can you step into this room for me, please, sir? And I was like, all right.
You're our 1 millionth traveler.
this is a rubbish prize, fellas. And so I get ushered into this room and I shut the door. And there's only a handful of people in the room. There's a Mexican guy who's getting deported. There's a guy who's taken seriously ill on the flight and they're getting an ambulance to him. There's a Korean student whose visa has run out and she's probably getting expelled. And then there's me. I was like, okay, this is an interesting room to be in. And eventually they process the people in front of me and then they get to me. And this takes them like the better part of 2 hours. And they start going through my stuff and asking me questions. And they're like, okay, why are you in Baltimore? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to the Space Telescope Science Center. This is where Hubble is run from, right, in Baltimore. And so I'm going there. I'm going to a conference. I'm giving a talk. And they said, oh, can you show us your talk? And I was like, okay. I got my laptop out, opened up the PowerPoint and said, look, here's the thing I'm going to talk about. That's my name. Look, it matches my passport, blah, blah, blah. And they said, okay, right, now we need to go and swab everything and go through all your stuff. I'm like, okay, fine. And so going through all this stuff, and they opened up and went through all the stuff in my suitcase. And this was the same suitcase I'd used when I got married. So all the stuff, like the receipts from the wedding, were all still like stuffed into the bag. Like I'd only been married for like 6 or 7 months at this point. And all these receipts start coming out. And the guy's looking at them. And so one thing he gets is the receipt for all the kilts, for all the... for you know, the groom and the best
man. And you remembered the kilts thing from the lava, from other people.
Well, so I had the receipts for everybody, right? Because I collected all of them. And so I had like 5 receipts for kilts. And the guys look at them going like, are these for kilts? And I was like, yes, these are for kilts. And he's like, why do you have all these receipts for kilts? And it's like, well, I'm Scottish. And when you get married in Scotland, you wear kilts. And the woman just kind of like, her face lit up and she's like, oh, really? That sounds wonderful. And I'm like, it's been 3 hours. Please.
Oh, so you didn't flash the Scottish card until then?
Well, I think, to be honest, at that point, I was like, just don't say anything unless they speak to you. Because when you go in, they give you like the full sort of deadpan, giving nothing away poker face kind of thing. And you're like, you just don't want to piss anybody off because you just want to get out of there and then, you know, get in a cab, get to your hotel, and then just get to sleep. Because you're knackered, right? It's been a long flight.
And then you can shake your fist in their general direction.
Then you can tell the story afterwards to your pals, right? And not be in prison. That's great. And so all this went on and on and on. And she started asking all these questions about what weddings are like in Scotland. And it's like, I know you're interested and it's nice, but this is not your job. Please let me out of here. And they eventually let me out. The shuttle
and you and the other guys went on to form One Direction.
No, that's not how the story ends. So the shuttle I'd booked to take me to the hotel had gone like hours before. So that was money I was never getting back. So it's like, okay, there's a taxi. I'll just go in. It's fine. I'll just have to pay for it. On the way in, I watched a drive-by shooting.
Jeez.
Like, there was policemen behind car doors and there were shots being fired. And I was that was then like an intersection that we drove past. And I was just like, wow, this is literally like an episode of The Wire happening outside my car window. And I was just like, wow. Get me to my hotel, please. This day is just really, really weird.
I imagine you leaning forward and being like, how much to Scotland?
Yeah.
Take me home.
So I got to the hotel, dumped my stuff, drank a pint of beer in about 11 seconds, and then went to bed. And that was one of the worst trips of my life.
So nice to keep it light in this podcast.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Drive-by shootings.
But that's the fear. That's the fear when you're flying. Like, it's not just the
actual fear. You're going to get into a drive-by.
Yeah, that. Or, more likely, you're going to get pulled aside by security, you know, for whatever reason. Random searches or whatever it is, you know, or you've not filled out the forms right or something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah, you're just going to end up spending like 2 hours in there. I had a really close call just going through security because my bag got pulled aside.
Uh-huh.
And it was because I had snow globes, but I had to sprint for my flight.
Mm.
And it was literally like it said, gate closing, and my bag was being opened, you know. And as it turns out, the flight was delayed. I got on it, I got there okay. But it's pretty stressful.
Oh, it is. For that. And the funny thing was that like a few times after that, because I flagged up in the system once, every time I went back to the US, like 3 or 4 times after that, they would flag me again just to double check me. So there was quite a few times that they'd just be like, oh, can we ask you a few more questions? Or get like extra screening. And it'd be like, oh, come on. Like, and they screen you in the UK. Like they were screening me in London. There'd be like US Marshals basically looking at people coming on the flight. And they'd be like, okay, you sir, you have to come and speak to me for a minute. Why are you going to the US? What's this? Blah, blah, blah. And then every time you're like, I'm an astrophysicist, I'm going to a conference, I'm presenting on this subject. And they're like, do you know anything about nuclear physics? And I'm like, well, it's part of my undergraduate degree, but I don't study it as a profession. And have you ever been to Iran or Afghanistan? No, I definitely haven't been to either of those countries. And then the guy's like, Jeez. Oh yeah, like astrophysicists, that's like the Big Bang Theory, right? And I was like, yeah, I know quite a few Sheldons. And they're like, on you go, sir. Enjoy your flight. And we're like, yeah, please let me on the flight.
I remember when that show came out, and I remember saying to you, you should watch it. And you were like, no, I don't want to watch it. Don't want to watch it. Don't want to watch it at all. And I was just like, no, it's really funny. And you're like, no, I don't want to watch it at all. And it was just really funny how anti-Big Bang Theory you were. Because as soon as I said, oh, it's about astrophysicists and being nerds, and you're like, no!
Well, I think my assumption was that, like, okay, it's a TV program about scientists and it's going to be full of crap stereotypes and really poor science. And what's true is that the science in there is very good because our scientific consultants are quite good. Some of the stereotyping is pretty bad, but you can identify the stereotypes in people you see all around you, right? I mean, I've met a lot of Sheldons. I would never say it to their faces, but I have, you know. And they do represent like sort of quite classic characteristics of people in the field. So in that sense, it is quite well observed. It's just very over the top.
Oh yeah, I think that's TV.
Yeah, it's TV. Yeah, Absolutely.
No, it's just crazy though. If you think like in your early days of being a researcher or whatever, if you had been sent to Iran or Afghanistan for purely innocent reasons, like how much more difficult your conversations with these marshals might have been from it, like from that.
Well, one of my colleagues spends a lot of time in Iran. He's involved in setting up astronomy projects at universities in Tehran and in different cities in Iran. And so he has a hellish time when it goes to security. And he tends to pay for like the, you know, the fast track security in the US just to try and avoid some of this stuff. I mean, it's a very classic American thing. Like, we'll ask you questions, but if you have money, it's totally fine. You can come straight through this thing. You know, yay capitalism.
America.
America.
On a tangent, have either of you seen the Detective Pikachu trailer?
Somebody said to me, there's this thing called Detective Pikachu. And I said, are you putting two random words together? and then the next words I said were, what the F is this about?
I don't know anything about it. I don't know where it's come from. But I watched the trailer yesterday or Monday or whatever it was that it came out. And I got so excited just by what it looked like and the fact that Ryan Reynolds is in it and doing the voice. And it's essentially Peek-a-Pool the movie. Because Brian Reynolds is voicing Pikachu, who is a detective for some reason. I don't understand why. And it's just Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds in every way that Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds.
I think he'll be a Ryan Reynolds aimed at a younger audience, though.
Yeah, no, he's definitely going to be PG. Like, he's not going to be dropping F-bombs, like, left, right, and center.
But the trailer's pretty funny when they're interrogating Mr. Mime.
Yeah.
He's pretending there's a glass wall there, and then he jumps at him, and there is actually a glass wall there.
It's the bit where he's miming pushing, and he goes, push, push, push. I push people away, and I hate them for it.
He's saying, shove off. Oh, okay.
Visually, it's just beautiful. Like, the visualization of the Pokemon, there's a point where you can see, like...
Depends who you ask.
Oh, yeah, the people who don't understand that Pikachu's furry.
Yeah.
Or the people who got really upset that Jigglypuff's furry, and I'm going, if it was not furry, it would look like one of those testicle cats.
It would also not be called Jigglypuff, right?
No, it would not.
That's a strong head that it's furry.
It'd be Jiggly Scroat.
Jiggly Ball.
Yeah. Jiggly Balls just
very,
doesn't sound
very,
quite the same,
very
does it?
Different, very different show. Jiggly Scroat. I
choose
they
work
you.
In pairs.
Yeah, Detective Jiggly Balls. I would pay Jiggly to see balls. That.
Yeah, that. And that's the one you get Danny DeVito to voice.
Yeah, he'd be perfect. What's a Jiggly Balls? No, I don't care. I'll do it.
Brilliant. Anything else you guys want to cover?
Do you know what? And this is something else that I've been watching recently, and we went through them in an evening. There is a YouTube channel called Cinema Wins, which is excellent. There's obviously a cinema to explain it. There's a YouTube channel called Cinema Sins, where someone basically points out all the problems and issues with a movie and counts them all up at the end. And I used to quite enjoy them, but they got quite sort of picky and petty and just it's all these bits and pieces. Whereas Cinema Sins is purely positive. It picks out all the nice things about a movie, all the fun things about it, all the interesting little facts, covering stuff from like the sound quality, the animation quality, the details in the animation. So if it's a CG movie, it's things like if they're standing next to a TV and the TV's reflecting the light. It's like little things like that, and the score and people's performances and everything like that. And it's an absolute joy to watch. The guy who does it is the most positive man I've ever seen. I've heard of on the internet. Like, and it's just like he's done reviews for all of the Harry Potter movies. He's done reviews for all the Marvel movies, almost all of the DC movies, I think. I'm not sure on that one.
It's not a massive list to get through, really.
Yeah, he's at the moment he's doing Lord of the Rings, which has been really fun to watch.
Jeez.
But you know, I cannot recommend watching them more enough. And if you're like me, and there's certain movies you're like, I don't really want to watch it, but I want to see literally the clipped highlights. It's really useful to watch because it's like essentially they're about 20 minutes long, and there's a certain point, like there's one he does for Godzilla where you get the bit where Godzilla like powers up and does his big beam down the Muton's mouth and just blows him out. Like he just loses it at that point. Like he just goes, oh my god, that's the best thing ever, and he just blacks out and he's like, okay, is everything okay? oh sorry, I didn't understand what happened there, but yeah, that was awesome. I just really enjoyed watching it, and I think if you get a chance to go check out Cinema Wins on YouTube.
Okay.
Don't tell them we sent you, because he's not going to know who the hell we are. But
I used to quite enjoy Cinema Sins as well, but I lost track of it. What we're watching, very
picky. Like, yeah. I used to enjoy them, and then they became super super negative, to the point where it wasn't funny anymore. It wasn't interesting anymore. Whereas Cinema Wins, there's actually a lot of interesting little bits in there that are actually quite positive.
I might check them out.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend. Like, there's all sorts of movies that you sit there and go, a lot of movies that I've sat there going, I'm never going to get a chance to watch this movie, but I may as well watch this. And he must have some sort of cinematography background, because he talks a lot about the technical stuff, like the use of Dutch tilts and things like that. That for me, I don't know any about this, but it's suddenly you're going, oh, so that's what that means, or oh, I never noticed that before. So, and in a good way, but not in a, I've not noticed that in a way, and now it's kind of ruined the movie. Whereas it's that improves the opinion. Dude, you look so like Finn Balor right now at that angle of the camera that you're in, Stobie. Just with the light.
I don't know who that is, but okay.
He's a wrestler. It's fine.
All right, okay.
No, you've ruined it now. You've ruined it.
I'll tell you what we're watching at the minute. And we've kind of like mainlined the entire thing in the course of a couple of weeks. In fact, not even that, over the course of a few days, really. Has been The Good Place.
Oh, I love that show.
Have you guys watched that?
Yeah, that's how we diagnosed Angela's directional insanity through that show. She's the only person who can get lost on an escalator.
I've never seen
The Good Place is amazing. Ted Danson is funny, right? It's the only thing I've seen Ted Danson in where he's funny, and he's really funny.
He's hilarious.
It's very, very good. It's really well
Everyone
observed.
In that show is on, but it's from the same people who did Parks and Rec and all that. So it's the same. It's apparently it's even set in the same universe.
It's really?
It's a shared universe.
All right.
So, it's why you see all the same alumni turning up in it. So obviously right. Adam Scott's been in it because he was in Parks and Rec as Ben, but he's the guy, he's the demon who turns up. Have you not seen Parks and Rec?
I tried to watch the first season and I got bogged down.
Don't watch the first series. Go straight to series 2.
That might be my issue. I might go back to it.
I watched the first series, didn't like it, so I stopped watching it. And then Angela watched the first series and into the second series because she'd heard that there's a lot of changes between series 1 and season 2, because they listened to the fans and they were like, we don't like it, it's not funny. So they went, oh, okay. And then they changed a lot of things. And they moved away from that whole office style towards what it ended up becoming. And it's so much better in the second series. Okay. I highly recommend it.
I'll give that a second look.
It is absolutely amazing. Really, really, really good.
Yeah. The Good Place, definitely recommended. The episodes are nice and short.
20 minutes.
It's very funny. It's very well observed. It's very smart as well. Like they get quite a lot of what should be really quite dry philosophy in there, but in a really clever way. And it's just very, very funny. It's one of the best programs I've seen in years.
I would agree with that. It is very interestingly funny.
Yeah. I'm watching Walking Dead and Titans at the moment. So I think I've got an episode of Walking Dead to catch up on, actually. So that'll keep me going. I've just finished the Castlevania seasons 1 and 2 on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very enjoyable. Either of you listened to Wolverine the Long Night at all?
No.
The podcast. I was talking about it on the last recording. I'd recommend it. It's good fun. Proper radio drama. But it's the guy who plays Wolverine in that is in Castlevania, Richard Armitage, and he is brilliant.
Richard Armitage.
He's the main character, Trevor. And the whole series is 4 episodes in season 1 and 8 in season 2, so it's pretty short. But it is really good. A really strong cast in it as well. So if you get a chance, I would completely recommend that.
Cool.
And obviously My Hero Academia, which we go on about all the time.
I've never heard you speak about that show before.
Have you not? Oh, Stu, My Hero Academia is amazing. It's only 3 seasons in if you want to catch up, and there's a movie coming out next month.
So, at Comic-Con, I'm pretty certain there are a whole bunch of people walking around in My Hero Academia, and I was like, I have no idea what you're dressed up as. And I was sitting there going, I know several people who would get super excited by this, but I'm going, no idea. Absolutely no idea. And that's the joy of Comic-Con. Like, you walk around, you're like, that's an amazing outfit. I have no idea who you are, but it's an amazing cosplay. And I'm just, yeah. I get way too shy, so I can't really do it. But people watching at con is astounding. Absolutely astounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Borderline perverted sometimes, but
it depends on what the cosplay is. There were some, yeah. But otherwise,
Gremlins.
Some of them are amazing. Like there was a full like stormtrooper, space marine, like a full size space marine, like wandering around in gear, and you're sitting watching. Going, and there were several Iron Men, and all these kids were running up to Iron Man, like, and it was like Iron Man suits that could like move their helmets up and down without. Mm-hmm. Having to like touch them, and like all these kids would run up to them and be like, oh, can I get a picture? And they'd be like, yeah, sure. So they would stand down and pose, and the helmet would come down and the lights would light up, and the kid would just lose his mind. Mm-hmm. And cons like that are really, really good. We got really lucky with what we managed to get, but it was crazy, crazy, crazy.
Excellent. No, I do enjoy the cosplays, especially like you're saying, the where there's props and, you know, there's proper effort being put in. It's not buying an outfit online and just that you're done. You know, these people have actually sat and laboured over the pieces they've made and made like
good
giant outfits and weapons and stuff.
Good quality cosplay is an art. Like, mm-hmm. you see some of the guys who turn up to this, and like I've done the dressing up stuff, and it's not like full cosplay. Like I'm not confident enough to be able to do anything like that, or to have the time or energy or money or whatever
yet.
You see some people wander around, you're like, this is absolutely amazing. And even the simple ideas, you said they're so clever, or the crossover ideas where someone's like crossed Joker with Joker with like stormtroopers. There's like a half Joker costume crossed into the colors of the stormtroopers from Star Wars, and you're sitting there going, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. And then you're sitting there going, this place is roasting. How are you surviving in that?
Well, was it San Diego or New York where Trump Vader was wandering about?
Oh, God. I think the less said about anything Trump-related, the better, before someone goes mad.
Yes.
That was funny. I was watching it. I was watching Fresh Talk the other night there. They were live. And the topic of Trump came up, and you've seen them, they were practically sweating trying not to go down that rabbit hole about it, because they were talking about the California fires and the Thousand Oaks shooting and his reaction, and they were brimming, but they didn't. But no, but it turns out, anyway, bringing it back, Trump Vader, remember, was Mark Hamill.
Was it really?
Really?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure he was, because people were going, look at this Trump Vader, it's amazing. And then later on, he's like, it was me. I'm sure it was Trump Vader he was. And he'd just been wondering about. Yeah. And, well, you know how much he loves him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
So just want to say thank you to both of you for coming along. I am looking forward to getting these recordings done.
Yeah.
It'll be good, especially if we don't cover the topic and just get go off on one again.
Deflected the air flights and
Batman.
Batman.
Yeah.
Duncan getting stopped at airports.
Yeah. That was a thing for me for a good couple of years. I managed to go to the US recently and not get stopped at the airport. And I was like, yes.
I never have a problem. Weirdly, it's Angela who has the problem, because she's got the insulin pump, which everyone thinks is some sort of device. So every time we go to the airport, she gets dragged off to the side and has to show what it is. Or when we were in America, like, she's like, I can't go through this scanner. It's like, why? Because it will affect my insulin pump. And they went, well, you still have to go through the scanner. I'm like, no, I have a letter that says I don't have to. And then there's a wonderful cyclical conversation that goes on until the point where they finally realize what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Meanwhile, I'm standing there going,
it's crazy as well, because that can't be like she is the only person in the world who has to give that explanation.
No, she's not the only person I know who has an insulin pump. I know several people who do.
Yeah, you know? and this is the thing. I think it's obviously today is World Diabetes Day. To any of diabetics who are out listening, well done. It's a hard condition to have, whether it's type 1 or type 2. So I'm married to a type 1 diabetic. It is a constant condition. Mm. I could throw all sorts of wonderful stats at you, because I've been to these wonderful panels and listened to these people talking, and it is not easy. There's a lot that goes on, and to have a situation where you're going through an airport and the equipment or whatever you have with you that keeps you alive is then questioned or put in risk, because going through these scanners can have an effect on these things, is not fun. And I will always stand up as someone who has that experience and say, diabetes, it affects so many, many people. And it just doesn't get the same respect or awareness as other conditions, which are equally as life affecting or debilitating or fatal. These other conditions are far more visible. Diabetes is one of those conditions that is either misunderstood and misviewed.
Mm-hmm.
So happy World Diabetes Day, everyone.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you say that? Do you say?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's one of these things. It's like, and I know how Angela handles it. It's just one of these things. And sometimes it's tough. Like, it's not like it's one of those things that goes into remission or can be cured or dealt with. It's a daily thing. But it's not like it's, every so often I feel bad. Like, it's every meal. Every piece of exercise, anything she wants to snack on, she's got to calculate and work out what goes in and out. And if you don't have that condition, you can't understand that.
Mm.
I don't think it's in any way possible to understand that. And I mean, I don't understand it, and I see her do it every day. And to that, she's an absolute hero. And to get everything she does done and help me deal with the mini kaiju as well. I mean, if anyone is listening there and you're a diabetic, I absolutely respect everything, and I understand it's not easy, but like, I'm there with you, and I hope something gets happened soon to help make your life easier for her. Well, that was a bit of a weird tangent.
Yeah.
It's actually a nice little message to finish on, though.
Yeah, like
I said. I think, anyway, so.
Diabetes doesn't have the best PR, to be honest. Like, if you want to talk about conditions to get all the money, it's the ones that have the best PR. But that's another conversation for another day.
And there's a niche for you.
No, really, I'm not the expert.
Are you going to start a diabetes podcast, Steve?
No.
That's what I was getting at.
I barely have enough time to do my own one.
Yeah,
I'm not going to talk about. Yeah. Moving on.
Well, thanks once again, guys. Stu, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Barg the Ogre. And you can find the Twitter of the Inside the Ogre's Cavern podcast at ITOC podcast. Though not much really happens there. I might start talking about my D&D game I started at the weekend, but yeah, you know, that's where I am.
Thanks, Stu. Forgan, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter as well, and you can get me at DHForgan, whereas the four is replaced with a number of four, so DH4GAN. You can usually catch me there.
So clever.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant, isn't it?
Thanks for that, guys. As always, you can find us on all social media at FCPodNet, as well as online at FCPod.net, where you'll find our other great shows, such as Inside the Ogre's Cavern, American Football Cast, Bloody Mess Podcast, Fair City Gaming and Chinecast. That's them all, and soon to be Science of Fiction. If you have enjoyed what you've heard from us and think, I'd love to buy those guys a beer, you can visit our Patreon site at patreon.com/FCPodNet and support us there. Alternatively, you can tell your friends, or possibly more importantly, tell us what you thought of the episode. You can do so either through social media or email us on FCPodNet@outlook.com. Stu, Forgan, it's been a great laugh. I'm looking forward to the science of fiction starting next week.
Sweet.
Depends on the schedule.
Although, depending on editing time, it might be 2 weeks from when you're listening to this episode.
In an indeterminate period of time.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Fair City Podcast Network. Fair City Podcast is a part of Britpod Scene, an independent network of uniquely British podcasts that's always growing. Check out BritpodScene.com or follow BritpodScene on the Twitter to find out more.
Thanks again, guys. Until next time, thanks for listening.